From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Last week's State Department briefing with Robert Palladino, the deputy spokesperson for the department, provided an update of U.S. activities around the world, from Afghanistan to Venezuela. It opened with a report from Ambassador Sam Brownback, who's the U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. He spoke about his recent trip to Asia, and then the regular briefing began with a discussion about the situation in Venezuela.
I want to start with Venezuela, if I could. You may have seen, which I hope you've seen, since I pointed it out, that the government that you no longer recognize as legitimate has declared that the person you support as the interim president, Mr. Guaido, is ineligible to hold public office for 15 years, and I'm wondering if you have a comment on that.
I haven't read that comment, but I confirm that you read that comment to me, and my immediate reaction would be, that's rich, and that's ridiculous.
But you don't have any, you're not aware of this other than from news reports?
I haven't read that yet, other than news reports, no.
Okay, thank you.
China.
Venezuela, please go ahead.
Thank you. So the Times for Congress Secretary Pompeo yesterday said that he personally has been in contact with governments of Mexico and Norway to talk about the possible exile of Maduro. So I wanted to see if you could please go a little bit in deep in these conversations, if they were actually talking about a possibility for Maduro to go out, or what was the answer?
I don't have anything additional to read out from those conversations, but the secretary and the special representative are very active talking to allies and partners in the region about ways to keep pressure on the situation to restore democracy to the Venezuelan people. That's something we remain very focused on. All right. We're done with Venezuela. Saudi Arabia, go ahead. Let's
Saudi Arabia
that.
Authorities have released today three women activists, and there is still eight more in prison. Do you have any comment on that?
Saw those reports indicating the release of detained women activists. The United States would certainly welcome this news. Nothing beyond that.
Is there any connection between the secretary's meeting today with Prince Khalid and this decision to release?
You saw the readout that we put out. The secretary did meet with the deputy defense minister today. He's the deputy defense minister, I would point out, and that was, to congratulate the minister in his new role. And, to indicate that we look forward to continuing to work together on the United States-Saudi Arabia partnership, and to express appreciation on their continued support for Special Representative, Special Envoy Martin Griffiths' work to advance the political process in Yemen. I would also point out what the Secretary said yesterday during his hearing, and that is, we have had interactions at nearly every level about specific cases that we're aware of and policies in general, and we have every hope and expectation that Saudi Arabia will engage us on these issues.
So are you saying that even though his portfolio is strictly defense, that more than just defense?
No, I didn't say that. Nothing beyond the readout for this meeting, but to Michelle's question on human rights in general,
right?
We take the opportunity to raise specific cases that we have knowledge of when we have those opportunities.
Well, so was this one of those opportunities?
I have nothing to offer beyond the readout that I
Well, I mean, listen, as you point out, the Secretary was fairly peppered with questions on this subject, human rights in Saudi Arabia, especially the case of Jamal Khashoggi. And so, I mean, I don't think it's inappropriate to ask the question if you are, in fact, raising these issues at various level at all levels, high levels. I mean, is the deputy, even though it's not strictly his portfolio, isn't it something you would raise with the deputy defense minister?
I have nothing to offer beyond the readout itself, okay. And that's all
so
I
bring
have.
Bring it up at many please. Meetings, but you can't say that you brought.
I have
it
nothing
up.
Beyond the readout. Please go ahead, Laurie.
Can I ask you about
one more on Saudi defense.
We'll stay with Saudi. Go,
did you discuss the nuclear technology that the U.S. would provide to Saudi Arabia?
I'm sorry, what is the question?
The nuclear technology that the U.S. may provide to Saudi Arabia.
This was something that was discussed yesterday, again, during the hearing. Those technologies, that's something that the Department of Energy oversees, that whole process. And for anything more specific on that, that's something for the Department of Energy to respond to.
Thanks. Do you have any comment on the Saudi bombing in Yemen that killed several children at a hospital?
Yeah, we saw those reports, and they are tragic. Give me a chance, please. We saw those reports, they're awful. The United States takes them seriously, and we're seeking more information. We understand that the Saudi-led coalition has referred the results of this targeting operation to the Joint Incidents Assessment Team for their review and their investigation. We're going to continue to call upon all parties to take appropriate measures to mitigate the risk for civilian casualties and damage to civilian infrastructure. And the United States urges a transparent investigation by the Joint Incidents Assessment Team into these alleged incidents, as well as swift implementation of the resulting recommendations.
Was that discussed this morning?
We have more in Yemen.
Well, was that discussed this morning with the Saudis? Yeah. Since he was here for that, did the secretary?
I have nothing to
call?
Offer beyond the readout at this
so,
point.
And so, understand what the issue is here. So yesterday, the secretary is peppered with questions about this kind of thing, and he says that this comes up in meetings all the time. You regularly raise it. You never miss an opportunity to raise it. And then the first opportunity that he has to meet with a senior Saudi official, you can't say whether these issues are raised.
Doesn't
that strike you as being a little bit?
Matt, the way this works is we have a readout of the meeting to which I personally was not a part of. Okay. And so I can't go beyond the readout at this point because I have nothing further I can provide at this point. This is the way this works. Laurie, please go ahead.
On Tuesday, you announced sanctions.
Stick to Laurie. Go ahead, Laurie, please.
On Tuesday, you announced sanctions against a significant number of companies in Turkey and the UAE that acted as front companies for the Iranian military. And earlier this month, the Iranian president visited Iraq with a large economic delegation. Are you concerned that Iran is going to use Iraqi companies for such purposes, and how will you deal with that?
The United States will aggressively enforce its sanctions authorities, and entities that continue to engage in sanctionable activity involving Iran will be exposed to United States sanctions. The United States will continue to apply maximum pressure on the Iranian regime until its leadership decides to change their behavior, respect the rights of their people, and return to the negotiating table.
And that applies to Iranian economic activities in Iraq as well?
It does. We're continuing to work with Iraq at the same time to increase its energy independence in expanding the use of Iraq's own natural resources and diversifying energy imports will strengthen their economy and develop development as well. We'll stop there. But
back to you,
CNN.
On Yemen, when you mention you call on all sides for transparent investigation, if the Saudis cannot be reliable for transparency on something like the Khashoggi murder, why would you have any expectation at all that they would be transparent and fair in an investigation like this?
They are our partner in the Middle East, and they are essential to the security and stability of the region and the safety of the American people. We have frank discussions with them. We will continue to work with them and look at the neighborhood. We are dealing with an Iran on the move that is threatening neighbors and sponsoring via proxies destabilization throughout the region. This is something that the United States will continue to push back against. Please.
North Korea.
Let's go North Korea. Yeah. Okay.
Two North Korea-related questions. One is South Korean media is reporting that Kim Han-sol, the son of Kim Jong-nam, is currently in New York and under the protection of U.S. authorities. I was wondering if you had a comment on that. And the second question
I don't know anything about that. Sorry. But
okay. Second question is there's also reports that U.S. humanitarian aid group is currently in North Korea thanks to an exemption on the travel ban. Can you confirm whether State Department has started approving these special validation status?
We can't. We don't comment on individual requests.
But in general, have you started giving out these exemptions?
We would say the protracted humanitarian crisis faced by the North Korean people is something that, it's created by the regime, and it's something that we remain focused on. Our position is that the government must take greater responsibility for the well-being of its population. And I'm not able to comment on anything beyond that at this point. Please. North Korea.
Regarding the raid on the North Korean embassy in Madrid, the Spanish authorities have said issued international arrest warrants for two people, one U.S. resident and one U.S. citizen, accused of raiding. Is the U.S. cooperating to find them? Are they still in the United States? And do you think that this raid was, what is your general response about this raid? Do you think it was a good thing to protest that way or not?
As to your first question, I have nothing from the State Department on anything like those to answer.
That's
not something correct. As to the second question, I mean, the Spanish authorities are still investigating this. All facts, are not known. Diplomatic missions overseas are something that ought to be respected and are protected by treaty. And we have been consistent in that regard on the protection of diplomatic facilities worldwide.
And I think that there, the U.S. is assisting the Spanish and trying to find these people or anything.
This is a law enforcement matter right now.
Okay.
For law enforcement matters, I would have to refer you to the Spanish legal authorities or to our American equivalent, the Department of Justice. It's not something that the State Department would be talking about, okay?
Love it.
On North Korea.
Let's give Jenny a chance.
Yeah, South Korea. Secretary Pompeo will have a meeting with the South Korean Foreign Minister Kang tomorrow. Can you confirm that?
I can't confirm that at this point. It's just I haven't seen the schedule yet. I'm sorry, but I cannot.
Thank you.
All right.
Almost North Korea.
Okay, go ahead. North Korea, please.
Do you think a North Korean Kim Jong-un will come to the table soon? How do you feel about it?
We remain optimistic, as the Secretary said yesterday, that diplomacy will be able to proceed forward. I'll stop there.
Okay.
Iraq or FPH. Go ahead.
Different topic. Algeria.
Can we finish North Korea?
North Korea. Go ahead.
So if the State Department and the U.S. government in general holds Bashar al-Assad responsible for killings that happen in Syria, if you hold Maduro responsible for what's going on there, why, when asked, does the Secretary of State say it's a political football and not hold Kim Jong-un responsible for the death of an American citizen?
I'm not quite tracking what
it's from the hearing yesterday. He was asked if Kim Jong-un is responsible for the death of Otto Warmbier. He wouldn't answer, and he said it was a political football. Why?
I think we've spoken out about these that tragic incident repeatedly and often from the United States government. There's nothing to add beyond that at this point. And so I wouldn't go beyond what the Secretary said yesterday. We're also very much now in a time of trying to move forward. And this is a matter of, nuclear proliferation. And it's something that we are focused on to protect the American people. And for that reason, it's important for us to remain engaged on these issues and attempting to move this forward.
Does the State Department believe that Kim Jong-un is responsible for
this? That's not what I said.
No, I asked you, does the State Department believe he's responsible?
We have been explicit in our human rights report. We've spoken out about these topics often. The Secretary has spoken about as well, and I'm not going to go beyond that at this point. Please.
Well, is there a concern that if you do, if you or the Secretary or any other official in public says that you believe Kim Jong-un is responsible for Otto Warmbier's death, that somehow that will hurt the diplomacy that's going underway? Because it seems to me that it's a straightforward, logical assumption when the Secretary gets the question and he says, we hold the regime responsible, and then you ask who leads the regime, and that would be Kim Jong-un. It seems to, it's a syllogism, right? So Kim Jong-un leads the regime is responsible, therefore Kim Jong-un is responsible, right? Why is that so difficult for you guys to say?
You said it. The regime is responsible. And I have nothing further to add.
It doesn't mean anything when I say
this on this. Please, NBC.
Do you have anything further to tell us about Special Representative Biegun's trip to Beijing? Do you have a readout of his meetings there, or can you say if he'll be traveling anywhere else in the region while he's there?
I have no new travel to announce. He was in Beijing to continue United States-China coordination on our policies related to North Korea. We consult regularly with China and other partners on this regard. We remain committed to the same goal, the final fully verified denuclearization of North Korea. No future travel to announce. Special Representative Biegun has returned.
Can you say whether he met with any North Korean officials while he was there?
I'm not going to go into any details on his meetings that he had. Nothing further to share about his schedule. We're in negotiations, and we are not going to be able to read out everything that we're doing from a podium. Okay, thanks,
Robert.
On this subject, go ahead.
Just a quick follow up: is the United States still concerned about China backsliding on sanctions enforcement?
We've spoken on this issue before, and sanctions enforcement is something that's important for all nations to be a part of. And we've said many times that China's enforcement has been very helpful, and the role that China is playing on the North Korea issue has been very helpful, and there's always more room for China to help on this regard as well.
All right. Can you stay on China?
On China.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, China.
The China has given a very hostile reaction to the U.S. move to go directly to the UNSC on Masood Azhar designation as a terrorist. To quote, they said this is not in line with the resolution of the issue through dialogue and negotiations. Whom the Chinese are planning to have dialogue with and negotiations with, and with what's going on in their backyard? But what is your reaction to this immediate hostile reaction from China?
Hostile reaction to what? I'm sorry, to gender.
The Chinese said the U.S. has bypassed the 1267 because in UN, U.S. along with France and U.K. has it's the first time they're putting directly to the UNSC to designate Jaish-e-Mohammed chief as an international terrorist. Earlier, they always went through listing proposals in sanctions committee.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for... Yeah, well, the United States views on Masoud Azhar and Jaish-e-Mohammed are well known. We've spoken about that here before. JEM is already a United Nations designated terrorist group. And Azhar is the founder and the leader of JEM. And he clearly meets the criteria for designation by the United Nations. JEM has been responsible for a number of terrorist attacks, and he's a threat to regional stability and peace. And so regarding 1267, what I would say is that the United Nations Security Council created the 1267 committee to designate ISIS and Al-Qaeda affiliated terrorists. And the United States intends to ensure that responsibility is taken seriously. And I can't go beyond the deliberations farther than that. But I would say, in regards to China, that the United States and China share a mutual interest in achieving regional stability and peace, and any failure on the Security Council's part to designate Azhar would run counter to this goal.
Saudi Arabia, China.
Thank you.
China.
So we're talking about human rights in China with Uyghurs. There seems to have been a big push. I don't want to say all of a sudden, because I know people here have been working on this issue for a while, but a bigger push in the last couple of weeks. Talking about human rights in Saudi Arabia, talking about human rights in North Korea. And I'm wondering, because in the intro to the 2018 Human Rights Report, the Secretary says that regardless of human rights records, the United States will continue to pursue its strategic interests with these countries where it sees fit. So I don't understand what kind of leverage or mechanism or impetus we think for these countries, especially in places like China, we have to change when there are so many other pressing issues. And to me, that statement says, well, if you offer us something we need better, we're going to deal with that later and push this to the side.
Now, this is diplomacy. This is something that we do with countries with whom we have shared interests that need to be advanced, as well as real concerns that have to be addressed. These are it takes a whole of government approach to address these issues, and with a country like China, there are many areas in which we're able to come to an agreement where things are in our mutual interest and we're able to achieve kind of constructive results. And at the same time, we're going to have to be frank on a number of issues where we disagree.
But where is this on the priority list, especially with China, where you've got so many issues, counterterrorism, intellectual property, trade, North Korea? Is the U.S. saying that this human rights violation is bad, is important enough that we would be willing to compromise negotiations on some of those other issues?
These are all important issues in the bilateral relationship, and, you know, for what the United States stands for and is going to seek to promote internationally. I'm not going to prioritize one thing over the other. We can do many things at the same time. It's something we're going to continue to push and pursue. The scope.
Two different topics quickly. First, Sunday is sort of the halfway point of the fiscal year. The State Department set a refugee cap of 30,000. So far, you've allowed about a little over 11,000 to enter. Are you committed to meeting that cap? And can you talk about why you have sort of seemed to be slow walking refugee admissions?
Yeah. I don't have anything today on our refugees, and it's just I just didn't have a chance to look at that before coming, so I don't want to misspeak. So
and
go ahead, Connor.
Second question, just to clarify back on Saudi Arabia, I'm sorry to jump around, but the Secretary said yesterday during his testimony that in his first meeting in October with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, they discussed the murder of Jamal Khashoggi.
Okay.
The State Department readout at the time, so they discussed his disappearance.
Okay.
Did the Secretary discuss his murder, or did he know that he had been murdered at that point in time?
I wouldn't have anything to add beyond what the Secretary said, and I'd have to go back on the timelines. I don't want to put too much.
Afghanistan. Gaza?
Afghanistan.
Israel?
Yeah. Gaza?
Gaza.
Afghanistan.
And then, Sean, you've got that look, too. Like, you've been doing this a lot. And did I call on you already? I can't remember.
All good.
All right, go ahead. Sean, go ahead.
Different topic. Algeria.
You did ask me about Algeria. You've been very patient.
You got sidetracked with good questions.
Okay, you did.
But I wanted to see if you had anything to say about it. There have been growing pushes, growing statements for President Bouteflika to step aside. Does the United States have any contact with him or with people around him? Does the United States have any message on what it thinks the best way forward is right now in Algeria?
Yeah, the United States respects the rights of the Algerian people to assemble and to peacefully express their views about fulfilling their political and economic aspirations. And then I'd say that this transition period that's undergoing, that's something for the Algerian people to answer. The question of how to accomplish that. But we respect the rights of the Algerians to peacefully express their views, and we'll continue to do so. And we would also commend the Algerian government's commitment to ensure the safety of all demonstrators.
Great. Do you have any statement on the faith of President Bouteflika? Is that something that the U.S. takes a stand on?
Nothing beyond that at this point, Sean, please. Last question. Go ahead, Abby. Okay. All right.
So we had talked earlier about this, but the three women that were released were women activists in Saudi Arabia. I wondered, 28 countries, 28 EU members, Canada and Australia, have all called for Saudi Arabia to free the remaining activists. Does the U.S. call on them to free the activists that are still imprisoned?
Well, we've just seen reports so far about what's taken place, and were those reports to be true, it would be welcome. Our position remains, we have expressed our concern about the detention of peaceful activists in Saudi Arabia. And we take these allegations of abuse seriously. And we urge the government of Saudi Arabia and all governments to ensure fair trial guarantees, freedom from arbitrary and extrajudicial detention, transparency, and the rule of law.
Just one in briefly on the Middle East, on Israel. I just want to go back to last week for a second and ask you about the coordination between interagency coordination on the announcement of the president's announcement of recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan. Specifically, how well coordinated was it in the interagency, and were you prepared for it when it happened?
Well coordinated, and yes, we were prepared.
Can you explain?
Thanks.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.